Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders, and we're taking you up until noon right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Everybody in the chatty house, hello. We appreciate y'all on youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Those of you listening on the radio, 1320 AM, good morning. Hi. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And everybody on Odyssey app, free Odyssey app.
Yeah.
Download the Odyssey app, search ESPN 1320, favorite us, and then you can listen to us wherever you are in the world. That way, if you're away from your radio or away from your computer, you can still get to us. And of course, the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. It's the podcast version of this program. Joe does a great job of uploading each hour and each show in full, so you can listen to it by hour. You can listen to the whole show if you're listening there. Hello. Hope the future is going well. Our Halos are up 2-0 on the Rays, James.
They will never be my Halos. They're your and Chris Ochoa's Halos.
I hate the Angels. I can't stand the Angels are my least favorite baseball team.
Are they?
I hate them. Oh my God, I can't stand them.
Okay.
Like just it is just the A's could be a 60 win team, and as long as they beat the Angels, I'd be like, yeah, all right. The season was okay. I can't stand those dudes. I love Mike Trout though. Mike Trout's the homie. But the Angels, so that's why it's a bit that there are Angels. Because they're most certainly not.
That's right.
The Sacramento Kings fell to the Denver Nuggets last night. We got the Sam Amick, Tony Jones, Michael Malone firing post-mortem. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version here.
Okay.
Malone's fiery ways were wearing on players and people in the organization. Calvin Booth and Michael Malone did not like each other, and that was simmering for years. Calvin Booth had this inkling to like fire Michael Malone.
Mm-hmm.
But he had not gotten a contract extension yet. Calvin Booth hadn't. And I guess the Cronkies who own the Denver Nuggets are notorious for lowballing front office members.
Oh, okay.
So Calvin Booth was trying to like, negotiate and squeeze a little more money out of him, and they said no. So he was in the last year of his contract. So he said, you know what? I'm not going to fire Michael Malone because, like, I'm on thin ice here with my contract, so I don't want to fire this guy. So we're just going to kind of leave it be and hope that, you know, we can salvage something here and I can get this extension. And then Josh Kroenke, Stan's son, who owns the Nuggets, steps in and goes, hey, you're both out of here. Like, you're both done. Calvin Booth and Michael Malone, you're both out. He is now stepping in as the interim head of basketball ops, which I guess kind of makes sense, since there's not a lot to do on that front for now, I guess.
Yeah.
Another note that I thought was interesting was that the Nuggets were influenced by the Grizzlies' firing of Taylor Jenkins.
Oh.
Like, they went, oh, well, if they did it, then we should just do that.
Okay.
With the goal of, A, something we talked about, David Adelman getting a look as a head coach and getting some games under his belt, if he's the guy that they want to go with moving forward. And B, the vibe was so bad with Michael Malone that they looked at their roster and they went, hey, an attitude adjustment might just help. That might be the thing that, and we kind of assumed that this was the case, but they went, that might be the thing that helps turn the season around. Plus, Calvin Booth wanted players like Peyton Watson and Christian Brown and Jalen Pickett to be playing more. He wanted those guys to be the players that Michael Malone was leaning on. And instead, Michael Malone really started leaning heavily on Russell Westbrook. Even though Russell Westbrook, as good as he was early in the season, like, his play had started to be more sporadic, and they were relying on him too much, and it was frustrating players on the court. Like, there were players within the organization who were upset that Russell Westbrook was getting so much burn and kind of being not sporadic, but erratic.
Yeah.
And just kind of being the Russell Westbrook we've really kind of come to know over the years. And so they just kind of looked at all that and went, all right, well, even though there's three games left, we think this gives us the best chance to be competitive this year. And so they fired Michael Malone.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. Like, being in the building last night, first of all, like, the Kings have a press conference room, right? That, mm-hmm. Kyle, you've been in a bunch of times.
Yep.
They also have a visiting press conference room, which is, it's like literally like the size of a bathroom. It's horrible. It's, mm-hmm. it's maybe like 10 by 10, like, and that might even be like, and when you put in like a table and a couple of cameras and like eight chairs, all of a sudden there's like no room to breathe. It's all cinder block walls. It's like super gross. I don't even like walking in there.
It says a lot. Never mind. Go ahead. 10 by 10 is a huge bathroom.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
Office is 10 by 10.
No, 10 by 10 is a huge, is a good sized bathroom. But it feels like in NBA standards, when you're, again, sometimes you're dealing with a 7 foot tall person in there.
Right.
Like, the room is like super claustrophobic. Then you go to the Kings press conference room, and it's probably like, I don't know, 25 by 30. It's a couple of hundred square feet. I mean,
it's a big size room.
Yeah, it's a huge room, right? Anyway, out of nowhere last night, the Kings and Nuggets worked it out where they moved the press conference for David Adelman into the Kings press conference room after Doug Christie was done. But it was like at the last second, because again, we're talking about an ESPN game. So there are a bunch of extra reporters there. David Adelman hadn't spoken to the media yet since the Michael Malone firing. David Adelman came and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sit in on this. And Brennan and yep. I, like, we're like, okay, we'll stay here. We'll sit in. Cause I don't go to the visiting coach all that often because the room is just like, it's super claustrophobic.
Well, so, and it's so rare that what the visiting coach has to say impacts anything anybody covering the Kings is doing.
Yeah, to be honest, one of the last times I was in there was when Michael Malone was there, and we talked about it yesterday, where he pounded on the table. He went, you know, about Domantas Sabonis being the best passing big man in the league. Right. So anyway, they move in, and I've never met David Adelman. I've met Rick Adelman a couple of times, and I've met a lot of assistants around the league, but I've never met David Adelman. And he walks in, and he's very unassuming. He's not very big. He's like, you know, he looks like a standard, I don't know, what is he, 35, 40 years old?
43.
Okay, 43. He just looks like an everyday average dude. And he got up on the press conference, you know, like the podium. He was absolutely off the charts good. Like, he was so gracious to Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. He talked about their families. He talked about, you know, like the opportunity that he had been given to become an offensive coach, and, you know, watching these young players like Nikola Jokic become these great players, and all of this stuff. He was just so engaging. He talked about his, you know, his dad. He talked about Sacramento and what it was like to be in Sacramento when they were great, and how he has so many memories, and so many memories of being a kid in Portland, and how great that experience was, and how, you know, he wants to bring that. Like, he was so engaging. Talked about Doug Christie, all of it. Like, I went from going, oh, this team is a nightmare, they're going to spiral, and, you know, this thing is going to totally be out of control, to walking out of a press conference going, oh, I think the Kings are in trouble tonight. Because that dude is somebody that people will follow. He's honest. He was genuine. And he just, like, struck a chord. And I walked out of that going, okay, that was way different than I thought. And, you know, there are good assistants all over the league that don't get an opportunity to coach. I can't believe that no one gave him a start, gave him a head coaching job up until now. Like, he was that good where you're like, oh, wow. You know, we always talk about, like, how good Luke Laux was in front of a camera. Luke was good. This was way more authentic and thought out and, like, from the heart. And I think he can strike a chord with that team. And to be honest with you, I have a different feeling about the Denver Nuggets today than I did. I had a different feeling going into that game than I did before. And I think that they can still be a good team.
I see securing a 12th pick here in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Said Jokic was the coach. If you saw the broadcast, Jokic was leading like every huddle. But I think there's value to that. If you're a head coach who's following a guy who is overbearing to the point that he got fired with three games left, I think that's a good thing to do. Is it's your first game. You've not gotten a chance to really put your fingerprints on this team yet. You're probably not going to make dramatic changes anyway. Yo, if Nikola Jokic, the three-time MVP who's in the running for a fourth one this year, if he has an idea or a thought, get out of the way and let him do it. I think that's where, like, there's value in that. Obviously, that can't be all the time. You can't start practice and go, okay, Nikola, what do you want to do? Or Nikola, sorry, I always mispronounce his name. Nikola, what do you want to do? You can't just do that. But I think last night, you got the job yesterday. You're trying to win this game, and your best player goes, I have an idea. Your best player, who's a genius basketball supercomputer, by the way, goes, hey, I want to do these things. Yeah, that's what we're going to do then.
It's called leadership.
Yeah. I think that's 1,000% what that was. So I don't... I took that as I made a joke about it online, but I took that as David Adelman knowing exactly where he stands and being confident enough in himself to know, I've got this, but I'm going to let this happen right now. And it obviously worked. And I usually, before I'm wrong about a thing, I usually get like a couple of days. It was from the jump last night. I was with you like, okay. I see where this makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a guy who was fully ready to just step in and hit the ground running.
Yeah. And just a totally different personality. I mean, you have the same basic coaching concepts. I mean, he's been running the offense for 8 years. So, and his point too, they asked him, hey, you've been running the offense. Like, what are you going to do about the defense? Because that's been the biggest problem here. He's like, well, you know, kind of the interesting thing is when you're running an offense is that you're watching how the defense reacts to your offense. And so he's like, I have some ideas, that I think might work because I'm watching defensive players all the time react to how my offense is working. And yeah. like every step of the way, and it wasn't like, it didn't feel like he was just trying to, fake it until he made it through that first press conference. And like you watched it play out. Like, look, a lot of times assistant coaches are the ones that are drawing up plays in the huddle. A lot of times that's what assistant coaches are doing. How many times do we watch Mike Brown wander around the court because he's angry and frustrated, and you look over and assistants are drawing up plays? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times do we see him go over and pull Terrence Davis aside and teach him how to play defense again, like reiterate their plan for defense, and right. then you look and the rest of the team is over working with a whiteboard with an assistant coach? That's kind of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're having defensive problems and you're calling a timeout, the defensive coach steps in like, hey, what are we doing here on transition defense? You right. know that our principles are to do this, this, and this. I need you to do that. And mm-hmm. that's where, again, like the separation, like dividing up and being able to delegate, which is also something David Adelman talked about last night. He's like, if you only know how much was on my plate that I had to delegate in the last 24 hours. He's like, I just had to find someone else to do some of the things that I've been doing this whole time. And that's not easy. And it requires trust and everything else. And again, mm-hmm. that's where I do think that he actually probably has a little bit of a leg up even on Doug Christie, because a lot of their coaches are still intact. And he's been there so long as a coach for one guy where you're just moving up a chair. You're not... Mm-hmm. like reinventing the wheel, where for Doug, a lot of this was like reinventing the wheel a little bit because the coach he's stepping in for, he wasn't one of Mike Brown's guys. He's on the coaching staff, but he wasn't one of Mike Brown's guys.
Right. Yeah. The other, and you mentioned like the changes that there were like wholesale changes that Doug needed to make. Just with rotations and then you get the De'Aaron Fox aspect of it and you're bringing in Zach LaVine. It's like all these massive changes are happening while he's trying to get his arms around the job. Right. Whereas David Adelman kind of gets to step in here and there's little tweaks he needs to make. And one of the ones that Amick and Tony Jones pointed out in their piece was like Russell Westbrook had been closing games. He did not close that game last night. Mm. It was Jalen Pickett, a guy who can stand in the corner and knock down a big three, which he did last night. And that small thing is just a massive, massive difference for a team like Denver. And that was a luxury that Doug didn't really have. He didn't get to go, okay, we just need a different messenger. We're going to do all the stuff the same. And we're going to, Keon might play a little more. It was so much more than that. But I thought, I'm with you, man. I thought Adelman, in that first presser, it's so easy to just start launching cliches.
Yeah.
And like you said, just kind of holding on for dear life. And the fact that he controlled that and then the game the way he did, I'm with you. I was very, very wrong about the direction Denver was heading the rest of the way.
Yeah. He owned the room. Just absolutely shocking.
Yeah. Shout out to him, man. Rooting for him.
Yeah.
For sure. It'd be a cool story. We've got some NFL draft stuff to get into. I've officially decided who my favorite player is in the draft. We'll talk about that. And I want to get to what else happened in the Western Conference last night, because the standings got a significant shakeup, and we'll tell you what it is next. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Kyle Madsen, James Hamm, Joe Brazil, hanging out with you until noon. We've been talking a lot about the Western Conference and just how kind of crazy everything is. So Phoenix was eliminated last night officially. We've been known the Suns are done, but now they're actually done. They lost 125 to 112 to OKC last night. They are three games behind the Dallas Mavericks with two games to go. My math says they can't catch them.
Done. Cooked.
That's crazy, dude. The Suns not even making the play-in?
Whew. It kind of feels like Dallas a couple of years ago, right? Where Dallas, like the year before they made it to the finals, they didn't make the playoffs. They were like the 13th seed in the Western Conference. Yeah.
Yeah, that was with Luka and Kyrie. But this Suns team, it was like they fell short last year. But then this offseason, they had Tyus Jones. They're going, okay, that's a nice steadying presence. They have a real point guard now. And you look at their roster, and I was thinking they were a top 16 in the West pretty handily. Mm-hmm. And to miss the play, and to be like, they weren't the picture of health, but it's not like Kevin Durant played 12 games. It's not like Devin Booker played 20 games. They just,
Most of their stars played a good portion of the season. I think most of their stars are eligible for postseason awards.
Like, we can talk about the Kings being disappointing this year. That pales in comparison to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. I mean, Devin Booker, 74 games. Kevin Durant is at 62. You got Tyus Jones at 79 games. You got Royce O'Neal at 73. Of course, those guys don't... Grayson Allen's played 62. 52 for Bradley Beal, which I think is actually really good for Bradley Beal, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Tough scenes in Phoenix. They got an ugly summer coming up, I think, for sure. Mm-hmm. The Clippers looked great last night against the Rockets. They beat Houston 134 to 117. I think the Clippers are with the Lakers in tier two in the West right now for me.
Uh-oh.
They're playing really, really good basketball, but they're doing it at this point of the year and not in like December. This isn't waiting for the wheels to fall off with injuries. Like, Kawhi is back. He's been playing at a really high level. I think he was Western Conference Player of the Month last month or last week. Western Conference Player of the Week last week. He's not played a ton of games leading up to this point, so I'm more confident that maybe he can get through a playoffs. And if he can, you're looking at a really, really dangerous Clippers team that's playing really, really well. Like I said, they throttled the Rockets last night, 134 to 117. It doesn't sound like you're buying the Clippers the way I am.
No, I think I'm okay with the Clippers. Like, I'm not anti-Clipper, but I would, you know, like, Kawhi's played 35 games. Like, they saved him for the playoffs, basically.
Right.
And so it's possible that they go on a run, but I'd also, like, the big difference that I've seen with that team is Zubac playing just out of his mind. So if he's going to be, if Zubac is going to be that good, then I do think that the Clippers have a shot.
I think he had his first career triple-double last night, I think I read.
Oh, Zubac did?
If it goes Zubac?
Yeah.
I believe that to be the case. And Houston at this point is locked into the two. They're playing for anything. Reed Sheppard, Jock Landale, Cam Whitmore, Tari Eason, and Jalen Green started for them last night. But the Clippers took care of business in that game. It was never close. They win by 17. They took care of business, unlike the Golden State Warriors, who it felt like last night kind of told us who they really are. They lost to the Spurs 114-111. Harrison Barnes hit a game-winning contested three, hand in his face, falling out of bounds above the break, sick shot. Steph Curry was a plus 13. Everybody else was either a minus or a zero, save for Trace Jackson Davis, who was plus three in like 3 minutes.
Wow.
And that's the concern with Golden State, man. Like, Quentin Post didn't play last night, but if Quentin Post isn't hitting threes and Moses Moody isn't knocking down shots and being effective, if Gary Payton the second's not hitting three, they just don't, like, it feels like they're a piece or two away, or some of the pieces don't fit the way we talk about Sacramento all the time. Like, I don't know that their roster is ready to compete in seven-game series, in a 3-7-game series in this West gauntlet. And then you got to go play Boston or Cleveland in the finals. Like, I just don't, I don't see it. The wind is blowing my door closed twice. You're losing to the Spurs in a game you need.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well for me. That does not bode well for me at all.
Well, I would say their biggest problem is that once you get past like Steph, the talent on the team isn't good enough. And, you know, Jimmy Butler is his own thing. I think teams will adjust and have started to adjust to Jimmy Butler as the number two option for that team. But then the rest of the guys, they're just randos, and you're hoping that some rando gets hot from one night to the next. And that's not a good way to, I mean, that's fine if you're, if again, you're where the Kings are at in the standings.
Sure.
It's fine if you're a team that's just trying to get through a season. But if you're like, if you're thinking this is a championship contender, I would be so incredibly floored to see this team even represent the West in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I'd like to make it to the Western Conference. This feels like a team that's like a first round playoff out, because unless they get the right matchup against a young team that doesn't know what they're doing, and they go in there and just stun somebody just on experience alone.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not putting it past him to win a round or two, but it's just like, I see Drew down in the chat saying, I don't think Moody and Pods are going 2-for-12 from three every night. They might though. I'm not ready to trust Moses Moody and Brandon Podziemski in a playoff series. Are you kidding me? And then there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. I don't give a damn, dude. It's the Spurs.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
And you needed it.
It's the Spurs in a game you needed, and they're trying to lose. You had no answers for Stephon Castle or Keldon Johnson? That's tough, bro. That's tough.
That's crazy.
Not a great scene for Golden State, who is now seventh in the West. They have Portland and the Clippers remaining. The Grizzlies are 6, Clippers 5, Nuggets 4. The Lakers still a game up on the Nuggets and Clippers. In the 3 seed, the Lakers have Houston and Portland left. The Nuggets, Memphis, and Houston. The Clippers, of course, play Sacramento tomorrow. And then they play at the Warriors to close their season. The Grizzlies still have Minnesota, Denver, and Dallas. The Warriors, Portland, and the Clippers. And then the Timberwolves have Memphis, Brooklyn, and Utah to close the season. Utah, by the way, they technically won. They beat the Trailblazers in the Tankathon.
Oh.
But they were victorious like on the scoreboard, which I think is like losing for them right now.
I also believe it's losing for them. You know what's crazy? Harrison Barnes, right? We got used to seeing Harrison Barnes play every night. Harrison Barnes has played 80 games this season, with 2 games left. He will play 82 games 3 years in a row. That's crazy.
Like HB?
Yeah, one of the most durable players in the league. He's down to 27 minutes a game this season, but shooting 43.8% from three. It's been solid for them.
Yeah, dude. Rock solid NBA veteran, Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. Like at this point, was he lackluster at times for the Kings over the last couple of years? Like, yeah, for sure. But man, just a effective rotational NBA player that I think a lot of teams would take. Kings would take him right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he would have helped them.
Yeah, big time. I need to talk about the NFL draft with you.
I've been waiting for you to talk about the NFL draft for like 2 weeks. We just keep moving this. I'm here for it.
There's been a lot of King stuff going on, and then Michael Malone got fired with 3 games left, and that kind of took over a show. It's good. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
I have the player that I like the most in this year's draft. To borrow a term from friend of the program, Matt Barrows, covers the 49ers for The Athletic. A draft crush, if you will.
Oh.
And it is Boston College defensive end Donovan Ezeraku.
Oh.
6'2", 248. He's got 34-inch arms. And there are so many reps where he either just wins off the edge with speed, but he's also got a really nice inside counter move, which matters a lot. And then there's reps where he just gets bodied. Like, he'll get pushed and knocked off balance, but he has the bend and the athleticism to keep his balance and stay after the quarterback. And on a team that cannot rush the passer and that purposely let go 3/4 of its starting defensive line, they need players, the 49ers do, they need players who are going to affect the pocket and are going to force teams to devote resources to trying to slow down that player. There are probably better edge rushers in the class just in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
But the available players when the 49ers pick at 11, or if they trade back, which I think they're going to try and do, I think Ezeraku fits the most what the 49ers need from an edge rusher. There's Mike Green from Marshall, but he's got some off-field stuff that I think are pretty significant red flags. There's a guy like Jalen Walker from Georgia who might not make it to 11, but he's also very, very small. He's probably more of like a 3-4 outside linebacker type of guy. And after that, to me, and then there's Abdul Carter from Penn State, but he's going to go in like the top 3 or 4. Ezeraku is the guy, man. I am such a huge fan of him. 20.5 tackles for loss last year, 16.5 sacks. His run stopping numbers, his run defense numbers are really, really good. Looks like he can play for 3 downs. I'm all the way in. Even if they overdraft him at 11, I'm in on Donovan Ezeraku. Let's go.
Where is he at in most drafts?
He's considered by a lot of people I've spoken to who cover the draft and are like deep draft analysts. He's like the number four edge rusher in this class.
Okay.
And he's projected to go in like the 20s.
All right. Hey, look, I don't study the NFL draft like you do. And I don't, you know, like there are times where I dive into it, but they're definitely like the 49ers need to me is on the defensive line. And then the next need is on the offensive line. And if you can get like a future star left tackle in this draft, that's where I'm drafting. But if not, like load up on as many interior defensive and offensive linemen as you can, and then use, if you have the number 11 pick or you move down a few spots, use that pick to secure a top end edge rusher. And so yeah. I'm with you on this. The flaws to the 49ers defense to me has always been that they're just banking on Nick Bosa to get to the quarterback and save their defensive backfield. And if you're not a team that puts money into cornerbacks and safeties, then you're going to have a big problem if you don't have a good defensive line, if you can't put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm so interested to see, because like Ezeraku is a player I love. And like I said, if they took him at 11, there'd be like, oh, they overdrafted him. But I think he could be an effective player, and that is what really matters to me. But to your point, they've been such a build front-to-back defense. They're going to focus heavy on the defensive line. And when your defensive line is getting to the quarterback, it lowers the bar for like the level of play you need in your secondary, right? There's still like a requisite level of play, but that bar comes down if you're really getting after the quarterback. Think about it like you don't need a rim protecting center as much if you're just awesome at defending the perimeter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're just really good at the point of attack, it matters less that you have a paint defender, because it's rare that those guys are getting into the paint, right? It's same kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I almost wonder though, and again, we're doing this based on mock drafts and speculation from analysts, that it's very rare that the mock drafts line up exactly with how teams are kind of thinking. But there's Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, and then Jahdae Barron, the cornerback from Texas, who are both more projected to go in that kind of 11, 12, 13 range.
Mm-hmm.
Where I kind of wonder with the 49ers, they drafted Renardo Green in the second round last year, and they drafted, they extended D'Amador Lenore midseason last year. I'm kind of wondering if the pieces are falling for them where they go, okay, we're going to flip the script here. We're going to go defensive back at number 11. I don't think they're going to do this, but it would make sense logically. We're going to go defensive back because that's the way the board fell. Mm. We need defensive line help, but we think we can do that on days 2 and 3 of the draft. We're going to go corner first, and now we're lowering the level of defensive line we need to build. So same concept. You're just doing it backwards.
Yeah.
And I don't hate that idea. I just don't know if that's what the 49ers are going to philosophically do.
They've got to find bodies. I mean, that's the startling thing. Yeah. Like you got 3 open starting spots. Like, I guess if you can, again, if you can move back from 11 to say like 24 or something, and you can pick up like a third round pick in that, then I can see just going with like two or three guys in the second, third, fourth round that makes sense. But you also need to do the same exact thing on your offensive line. You're going to have to fill out your offensive line at least a couple of spots. You're going to have to bring in a couple of bodies. You can't just hope that, you know, all of the guys that you lost this summer that you're going to replace in-house with players that you already have.
Yeah, they can't. They just don't have the, they literally don't have the players to do it.
No.
I mean, so I'm with you, man. They have to walk out of this draft with three or four defensive linemen at minimum. If they walked out with more than that, it would definitely make sense. I don't like poo-pooing a mock draft idea.
Yeah.
Because who knows? Like, it just, unless you're super tapped in with front office members, like, it's really, really tough to be like locked in with what's happening in a mock draft.
Yep.
So I just take everything as a thought experiment. It's an idea. What if this is kind of interesting? Would a team do this, and how would the dominoes then fall? It's just they're putting different stuff out there, talking points. And I think it's really fun. It's one of my favorite parts of certainly the NBA draft and the NFL draft. But my guy, Thor Nystrom, he writes for Fantasy Life, did a mock draft that I was like, this is insane. He has the 49ers trading their first and second round pick, so 11 and 43, to move up to number 5 to draft Penn State tight end Tyler Warren.
What?
This is not an anti-Tyler Warren thing. I'm a big Tyler Warren guy. And if 49ers drafted him at 11, I wouldn't hate it. But here's the philosophy here. They're trading their first and second round pick in a draft, as you just laid out, where you like need picks. This is a quantity over quality draft for the 49ers for me. You need to get good players to be totally sure. But this is not a, hey, cool, walking out of here with 5 picks because we traded up a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like, no, it can't be that. You just need to find players, right? That's been the Rams strategy the last few years, is just, hey, we're going to have these 9, 10, 11 player draft classes, and we're going to, the more darts you throw, the more chances you have to hit, right? Trading up to take Tyler Warren. Tight end's the only position the Niners have actually like invested in this offseason.
The only one.
They've lost 3/4 of their defensive line. They lost a starting cornerback, a starting safety. They lost a starting linebacker, a starting left guard.
Yep.
They actually signed a tight end to a 3-year deal, 3 years and 15,
21 million.
Just shy of whatever. It's 11 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like they're going to extend George Kittle. So you're telling me they're then going to trade big draft capital, their first 2 picks, to move up and draft a tight end?
No.
That's the one that I'm like, I'm taking that off the board. I really don't think that's going to happen. Never say never. I would be floored if that's the move. I wouldn't be that shocked if they trade up, like if Mason Graham, he's like the consensus best defensive tackle in the draft. But his measurables aren't great. His workout numbers weren't great, but he's just a dog. He's a beast, and everybody kind of knows it. The reason Aaron Donald fell was that exact thing, like just the measurables, right? Like he doesn't check this box with arm length and height, so he's going to fall in the draft. That's kind of what might happen to Mason Graham, who's really freaking good. And if he falls into that 5, 6, 7 range, it wouldn't shock me if the Niners tried to move up. If Abdul Carter, like I said, consensus best defensive end, he's got a foot thing, he's got a stress reaction in his foot that they're hoping doesn't need surgery, but it might. It's kind of a question mark. He hasn't been able to work out pre-draft. If he falls into that 5, 6, 7 range, it wouldn't shock me if the Niners tried to move up. And that would make more sense. Because now, okay, you're giving up some draft capital, but you're getting like an elite, elite player at one of your 2 biggest positions of need.
Yeah, something you can build around.
Yeah. But outside of that, I don't think they're going to trade up for Tyler Warren. As much as I like Tyler Warren as a player. Okay. He's awesome. But I'm not trading up for him. So those are my draft takes right now. We're 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. We'll have more, of course. We'll get some people, some actual analysts on to help us continue diving into this with the 49ers. The Raiders have a big draft coming up, although it looks like they're just going to pick Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State, which I'm here for. I love me some Ashton Jeanty. He's so much fun. But we'll continue diving into that. What we're going to do next is dive into the handoff. One of D'Lo or Casey, I think it's a D'Lo day. One of D'Lo or Casey will join us next on the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Joe Brazil is there. James Hamm is there. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento, sports leader.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, I see. You guys switched seats.
Yeah,
because
just swapped.
We got to do the change. Okay, I see what's happening now. All right, so Damian Barling is in the building, getting set up. James Hamm switched seats. That was deeply confusing for me. We were neck deep in Indianapolis Colts draft talk
at the
break, so I did not notice you guys switching sides.
Damian had to run out.
That's my bad.
And then I'm like,
hi, Damian.
Let's just switch
this
seats.
Is weird to me. The setup is throwing me off.
You got it, buddy. You could do it.
Can I, though?
You can do it.
This is where I always am. I don't know what you're talking about.
I got all the faith in the world.
Okay. All right. Damian Barling's here. This is the handoff.
Are we back?
Coming up next.
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, we're on air.
My
bad.
This is all on air.
No, you're good. We're good.
We're good. We're on air right now. Are you eating a donut?
Yeah.
What kind of donut did we get?
I don't know. It was a chocolate one that Hammer brought.
No.
No?
JC saved us.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot about donuts. And JC sent a note, which I missed. I walked in the door and go, oh, no, I forgot donuts. I walk in, and there's donuts on the counter.
Oh, that's tremendous. Well, shout out, JC.
It's my donut day.
Mm.
It's a payday Thursday, which is Kyle's donut day. And I woke up like in a panic because I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. Am I door dashing donuts? Mm. Should I Venmo James? And then I see this chat alert from JC that's like, boys, donuts on me today.
That's awesome.
And he had no idea. So shout out to JC.
JC is awesome.
New member of the donut committee.
I'm with it. I don't need to be eating them, but they're there. And this one looked exceptionally delightful. So I was like, I'm going to go get that before someone else does.
He's
just chocolate, nothing on it?
No, it's not what you think. There was something else on top of it. I don't know what it was.
It looks good.
Delightful. It was delightful.
Yeah. He stops at a donut shop. There's some really good donut shop in Stockton. So he lives down that way.
Yeah, he's out in Modesto.
All right, JC lives very far.
Oh,
and he's always here before me. Which is insane.
I think he's trying to beat traffic.
No, I think that's what he gets here really early and then kind of like dips out.
Yeah.
Shout out to JC. JC's him.
Big fan. Kings lost last night.
Yeah.
It's the first time in a while that I've walked away from a Kings loss and just kind of been like, meh.
Yeah, I think the only thing.
They're down a couple important guys.
The only thing, and yeah, that you know, that's the other thing. Like it's some, like this is tough, and you hope it's not a, you hope it's not a glimpse into the future. But like there's only so much you can handle at this type of time of year with guys being out. I think the only thing that bugged me about yesterday's game is I didn't really think Denver as a whole played great. Like I mean, Jokic was extraordinary. I hated that Christian Brown was just surgical against Sacramento. That was maddening. But outside of that, it was like, if the Kings had just been a little bit better, it wouldn't have needed a big run. You know, like the game was there for them at the half. They had that run in the third quarter. Jokic drawing up plays and doing all the stuff he's doing. And it's like, all right. I'd kind of like, I don't know that they're going to be able to get this one. Then they make the run and, I think it was Michael Porter Jr. who hit that killer three.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, well, they put up a fight. Like, I think that was the only thing, and I'm not walking away from that game sulking. More like, you know, maybe Denver was a little more motivated in that one. I just didn't think Denver was great. That's the only thing that bugged me. Like, they weren't like, oh, man, let's go win this for David Adelman. Like, it wasn't that. It was like they had a, you know, obviously Jokic was great. Christian Brown was really good, but like other than that, and I think Michael Porter Jr. had a day which kind of drove me nuts. It was like, all right, he gets one of those, you know, once every six games, and he got this one against Sacramento. So it happens. I think Friday will be interesting because the Clippers are playing for a lot after, you know, Harrison Barnes decides to hit a game-winning three-pointer at the Chase Center.
Dude. Like 10 levels of difficulty higher than the one in game four.
Not like they're not even like the shot in game four was a 3-point contest shot. That one last night was a contested, off balance, not even full control of the basketball three pointer.
That shot went up, and I was like, "All right, OT." Nope, wrong.
But the point in that was that dropped the Warriors down. That put the Clippers ahead. You've got, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, it's the Clippers and Warriors on Sunday.
Clippers Warriors on Sunday.
Yeah, correct. That game's that's everything. Like you lose, there's a good chance you lose that game. You don't have a guaranteed playoff spot.
Oh yeah.
So I think that makes Friday's game here at the Golden One Center. LA's not. You know, the Clippers aren't walking in here with their feet up. Like they're playing for something, whether Sacramento is or not. They're playing for something.
Well, they're playing well.
I watching the game last night. I just thought Denver's a better team. Like they're missing Jamal Murray, but the Kings were missing Keegan Murray and Jake LaRavia and Malik Monk. I mean, like
they are. I just feel like Sacramento matches up really well with Denver. I feel like those games are always really good. I feel like there's at full capacity. I feel like the two rosters match up really well against each other, but we didn't. You know, from neither side, we didn't have full capacity last
night. Well, and that's what I think. I mean, the Kings were missing too many, and you had no one that could play against Aaron Gordon. You had no one that could, like, really slow down both guards. You know, you had to pick your poison. Yeah, it's just tough.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Denver had four starters with 20-plus, and their starter who didn't get there had 18.
Yeah. Mm.
That, to me, was a direct reflection of, man, Keegan Murray really would have helped.
Yep.
Jake LaRavia really would have helped. And then we were talking about this. That's all a bigger deal than what I'm going to bring up. But I thought that stretch early in the game where DeMar DeRozan made it look like it was like his personal mission to score on Aaron Gordon. I thought that took him out very, very early. And we talked about this earlier. They lost the first quarter by 8 points and played to a draw the rest of the way. And I thought getting off on that foot was really, really tough last night.
Yeah. It was kind of noticeable, and I didn't know if it was DeMar feeling like he had to get the shots because where else were they going to come from?
Well, it's the same team they've been playing with for the last couple of games and winning with.
Yeah, that wasn't my favorite stretch of Kings basketball right there. It wasn't my favorite stretch of DeMar DeRozan basketball.
Yeah.
He had been really effective in the last two games. He had kind of been out. Overshadowed, I should say, by the way Zach LaVine has been playing. But, like, DeMar was really good against Detroit. He was really good against Cleveland. Yeah. So
I totally agree.
Taking the, you know, trying to get aggressive out of the gate, I think I would have preferred maybe the ball move a little bit more in the first quarter. Then if you feel you need to get aggressive later, like, DeMar is a good enough judge to feel out the game and understand what's going on right there. I'm with you, Kyle, though. I didn't love that level of aggression from DeMar in the first half, or excuse me, the first quarter. But again, he had been playing well, so if, you know, 3-4 of those shots kind of go his way, we're having a different conversation.
Yeah, but you can't score 22 points on 26 shots.
No, I hear you. I understand. Got you.
And he's been playing well because, at least to me anyway, he's been facilitating and distributing and allowing the shots to kind of come to him more.
Sure.
It was like last night, his first shot went up against Aaron Gordon, and he talked about this earlier, but he like went shoulder into chest, Gordon doesn't move. He gets vertical. The pump fakes aren't working, and he throws a bad shot at the rim. And it was legitimately the rest of the first quarter was him going like, "No, I'm going to solve this problem."
Yeah,
he even flopped on that play. Yeah. He fell down, and Aaron Gordon just looked at him and shook his head like, "No, bro, that's not happening. I didn't bite on the pump fake. Like, go ahead and get up, run to the other side, or don't run to the other side. I don't really care because, to be honest with you, I'm going to score on you either way."
It's tough because the Kings did get good performances from Keon and Trey Lyles yesterday, and those are, you know, 20-17. I think Trey had. That's what you need from guys like that, but you're just so depleted elsewhere that kind of stuck.
Yeah, limited what you could do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damian, I have a thing to do real quick. Do you want to disappear for a moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I will just.
Okay, yeah, just take a break. Yeah, cool, perfect. Because, man, last night in Underdog Daily Fantasy, which I play every single day, especially now with the NBA playoffs coming up, I'm going to be locked in. You should be locked in, too. Use promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M, when you sign up. Underdog's one of the leading sports apps, and you can now play here in California. If you want to win up to 1,000 times your money, of course you do. You can with Underdog. Last night, I leaned on the Kings to do the ball movement thing. DeMar DeRozan, higher than 4.5 assists? No, he had 4. Domantas Sabonis, higher than 6.5 assists? No, he had 2. Christian Brown went higher on his points, rebounds, assists. Zach LaVine went higher on his points. Keon Ellis, I told you, Keon Ellis is due. Keon Ellis had a great night last night, went higher than 10.5 points. Alas, the assists were not there for me. But you know, I'm back on the horse tonight. I got a baseball entry tonight. But you can do NBA, you can do baseball, you can mix and match sports. I got all your favorite sports, all your favorite leagues. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M, to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Anyways, now that we're done with that, I'd like to bring Damian Barling in for the handoff.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Damian.
Hey, man.
Yeah, the ball movement stuff last night was brutal.
Yeah.
That was tough for me.
It was.
There's nothing worse than in any daily fantasy you play when you have DeMar DeRozan assists and you realize, oh, I'm not getting these assists today.
Mm-hmm. Even no, when, even when the number's 3.5 and it's just like, oh, it's not happening.
Yeah.
That's tough.
We're at 1 at halftime and the Kings are down 10. Like, it's tough. No.
Yeah.
And the bummer is a lot of times he's at like 7, 8, 9. You know, you're like, hey. Yeah. But you know the games he's not going to be at that. And it's really strange. Like, that's, I think, like, at the end of the year, we're, when he's not going to have a great game, you see it so early, and you're like, this is not good.
Yeah. Yep. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
I mean, obviously, we'll talk a lot about not just this game, but kind of what happened around the league, the Harrison Barnes shot, what that means for the Western Conference. Obviously, it doesn't really matter for the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk about the emotional night in Dallas. That was... Man, that was something to watch. I think the Luka Doncic babyface turn is complete, at least in my eyes it is, despite the fact what he called you, Kyle Mattson. I think the babyface turn is complete. So a lot of NBA stuff ahead. Matt George coming up final hour of the show also.
We didn't get to talk about that he got ejected for getting loud with a fan.
Yeah,
I was
right?
Like, yes, yes!
Yeah, yeah. And I kept thinking, I know what he called him.
I know
exactly what he called him.
D'Lo KC coming up next. They're going to take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. For Joe Brazil and James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders back at 10 a.m. tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. See ya.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide.
based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.